Brady Bunch the movie, starring Shelley Long as Carol Brady, Gary Cole as Mike Brady, and Christine Taylor as Marsha Brady. Also starring Christopher Daniel Barnes as Greg, Jennifer Elise Cox as Jan, Paul Soutera as Peter, Olivia Hack as Cindy, Jesse Lee as Bobby, and Michael McKean as Larry Dittmeyer. Modern Los Angeles, tattooed men are hanging out by a tattoo parlor. People are drinking coffees on a pavement cafe. They work on their laptops. A sign reads, "No smoking anywhere." Lots of people walk along the pavement. In a convertible black car, a couple are on mobile phones. They pull up to lights where pedestrians are also on their phones. On the busy freeways, various road signs read, LA exits closed ahead due to heavy traffic, Medfly toxic spray and quake damage, Killer Bee gridlock, drive-by gang war riot, and finally, have a nice day.
Well, that's what's brilliant about you, Mr. Feldman. No one else would have thought of building a residential mini mall. Now that I've got everyone else on the block to read your offer, I think we're...
It's gotta be everyone on the block, everyone, or the deal's off.
Oh, we're headed into the canyon. I think I'm losing you, Mr. Feldman.
Cut the crap, Dittmeyer. Did you get everyone or not?
Well, there's this one family that's holding out.
Then sweeten the deal, up the offer.
It's not that simple. It's like they're not interested in money. It's like they're not normal.
Why the hell not? What's this story?
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's a story of a man named Brady, who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone. Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunch.
A 70s-style house in the suburbs, a housekeeper comes out of the front door. As she opens the postbox, letters fall onto the floor. The lady turns around and sticks her bum in the air as she bends to pick them up. A truck drives by and a paperboy throws a newspaper, hitting the lady in the bum. She falls over into the hedgerow.
Don't worry about me, I'm okay. Morning, Mrs. Brady.
Oh, thanks, Alice.
Morning, Alice.
Careful, Mr. Brady. Don't bend over.
You've gotten the Dittmeyers' mail again, sweetheart. You'd think after all these years they'd know who lives where.
Well, I always know where to deliver my mail.
Mr. Brady.
Mommy, Marcia's been in the bathroom for a super long time.
Now, Cindy, we've told you before, no one likes a tattletale.
But, Daddy...
Your father's right, sweetheart. Why don't you help Alice make some cookies?
Okay, Mommy. But can my doll help, too?
As long as it's not Betsy Wetsy. She makes my cookies soggy-woggy.
Oh, Alice.
4,998.
Come on, Marcia, open up. I've got a shave.
4,999.
Gosh, Marcia, there are other people in this family besides you.
5,000.
Come on, Marcia.
Doug Simpson's sure to notice me today.
All finished!
Finally!
Greg!
Jan, you're just gonna have to wait your turn.
It's never my turn.
In Jan and Marsha's bedroom, Jan takes out a dress from the dresser. Marsha walks over to look in the mirror and notices something on the dresser top.
Jan, did you move my trophies?
Yes. I couldn't look in the mirror without seeing the awards of the great Marsha Brady.
I believe these are my white knee socks.
Not everything in this room is yours.
Marcia smugly walks over to the dresser. She opens up a drawer where neatly piled socks lay.
see, Jan, I told you they were mine. Now put them back and don't forget to close the drawer when you're done.
Jan's in a voice.
She has every right to be mad. They are her socks. But why does Marcia get all the socks? Why does Marcia get all the trophies? Why does Marcia get all the good drawers? Yeah! Why does Marcia get everything? Marcia, Marcia, Marcia! It's closed!
Come on, Greg, hurry up. Boy, he's worse than Marcia.
Hey, what's wrong with your voice?
Well, my libido is increasing at a rapid rate. And the surge of hormones causes dramatic physical and emotional changes. Well, that's what Miss Lindley told us in health class. Finally.
Yeah.
Well, you kids have no idea what it takes to impress a chick. Maybe someday, when you're older, you'll get hip to what it's like being a man.
Good news, Greg. I'm putting on your favorite Scooby-Doo bed sheets.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
Honey, I think you've stirred that enough.
I'm not stirring. I'm looking for Katie Carryall's underpants.
I tell you what, why don't I take over the cookies and you run these letters to the Dittmeyers and see if they've gotten any of our mail by mistake.
Okay, Mommy.
Carol looks into the bowl, then rolls her eyes at her husband. Outside, Cindy walks through the pristine, almost artificial garden and walks out to a fence where she goes next door. On the other side, the grass is overgrown and a green, dirty car is sitting in the driveway. A hairy kid has his head out of the sunroof.
Cheeseball. Missy!
Shut up before you have a toxic dog!
Hello, Missy. How's your science project coming? I finished mine.
What are you gonna do? Hand in your face and call a barf mold? See you on the seesaw, Sensei! Bye!
Cindy skips away happily.
Look, Mr. Feldman, I promised they'd sell, and they will.
Like the bait steel?
Yeah, I know I took it in the rear on that subdivision, but this time I'm the one who's doing the screwing.
Yeah, well, just make sure one holdout family doesn't write this, you hear me?
Look, can I call you back?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hello, Mr. Dittmeyer.
Why are you here? Oh. Thanks.
Mom asked me to ask you if there's any mail for us here by mistake.
I don't understand you. What do you want?
Mom asked me to ask you if there's any mail for us here by mistake.
What?
Mom asked me to ask you if there's any mail for us here by the sink.
No, not a clue.
She wants the Brady's mail, Larry!
Thank you, darling. So kind of you to climb out from under your hangover. Let's see, where'd I file your mail? Oh, yes.
His wife is hung over on the sofa.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
How's your daddy?
He's fine.
Mrs. Brady's lucky to have a big, strong, virile man like that.
A drink falls over onto the moving treadmill.
Next Christmas, you tell your daddy I'd be more than happy to wrap his package.
Okay.
Here, hit the road, bad seed.
Excuse me, but the juice will make your shoes slip.
What?
Your shoes will slip in the juice.
He nods and moves to the treadmill.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
He steps on and falls off, crashing into the wall.
Said that she'd be glad to wrap your package this Christmas.
Hmm, really? How is Mrs. Dittmeyer?
Mr. Dittmeyer says he's overhung, but he's not in a good mood because he's taking it in the rear.
Must be that paper boy again.
Cindy, that's Mr. Dittmeyer's business. Remember, nobody likes a snitch.
I'm not a snitch. I just tell it like it is.
You know, Cindy, when you tattle on someone, you're not just telling on them. You're telling on yourself. And by tattling on someone, you're really just telling them, I'm a tattletale. Now, is that the tale you want to tell?
I never thought of it like that.
Sweetheart, it's time to get your school things together, honey.
Okay, Mommy.
What is it, Mike?
It's a letter from the county. They say we haven't paid our property taxes.
Haven't paid our taxes? We always pay our taxes.
Well, they say it's the fifth notice. And we owe them $20,000 by the end of the week, or they'll auction our house.
$20,000? There has to be a mix-up.
We better call someone.
We are.
You do? I see. We should. You are. All right, goodbye. We owe them.
Oh, Mike.
Now, don't you worry, honey. We'll find the money.
Find the money? But we used our savings to go to the Grand Canyon in Hawaii. What are we gonna do, Mike?
Next, Alice stands at the bottom of the stairs.
Okay, troops! Time for school! Fred, Marsha, Peter, Jan, Bobby, Cindy!
The kids all bump into each other.
Do we always have to walk so close?
Oh, Jan!
Mom, can I borrow your car today? I want to ask Donna Leonard to go out for a soda after school.
All right, but no hot rodding.
Thanks, Mom. She's the most far-out chick in my class. You wouldn't believe how much I dig her.
Sure I would. I've been digging Sam so long, by the time he proposes, I'll be 6 feet under.
Oh, Alice, what would we do without you?
Probably eat out.
Hey, why the long face, Bobby?
Well, ever since I became a safety monitor at school, nobody will talk to me. They think I'm some kind of fink.
Yeah, Bobby, people like to be corrected when they're doing something wrong. That's how we improve ourselves.
Right, Dad.
And if your sister would wear her glasses, she just might improve her eyesight.
Marcia doesn't have to wear glasses. Besides, all my friends at school say glasses make me look positively goofy.
Now, honey, you look very lovely with your glasses on. Doesn't she, kids?
Yeah.
Far out, Jan.
Yeah.
You look great.
Yeah, I mean,
it's out of sight. Really terrific.
Thank you.
All right, troops, off to school.
Goodbye.
Have a good day.
Bye, Mom. Bye, Dad.
Bye, Mom.
Come on, Marcia.
I'm coming.
Jan, a real friend likes you for who you are, not what's on your face. If you judge your friends for passing judgment on you, you're not only judging yourself, you're judging your friends for judging you, and that would be using bad judgment.
I never thought of it that way.
Jan?
Jan picks up a bag of flour instead of her lunch bag. Carol gives her the right one. Jan leaves with her glasses on.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
In the garage, Bobby is fixing his bike. Jan gets onto her chopper and has a sly look on her face. She takes off her glasses and puts them into her crochet tank top. She squints as she leaves.
Bye, Bobby.
Bye, Jan.
Bobby shakes his head as Jan keeps crashing into things on her bike. Jan cycles into the path of a modern silver car. He sticks his finger out at her. Jan waves back at the car. Next, Greg is driving a brown station wagon really slowly. Cars overtake him. Marcia sits next to him in the front.
Davy Jones is the most. I sure wish he'd write back. I wrote him over a month ago.
But Marcia, he gets millions of letters.
But I'm president of his fan club, and I invited him to entertain at the school dance.
A big rock star like that can't just drop everything for our dance. Jeez, you can be so silly sometimes.
All right, everybody out. This is a car jack.
Well, of course this is a car. But my name's not Jack. It's Greg. And this is my sister, Marcia.
Hi.
And you are?
Eddie. Wait a minute. Didn't you hear me? Get out now. This is a carjacking.
Oh, Greg. I think he has a flat tire. He must need a jack. Sorry, Eddie.
We don't have a jack.
But don't worry. I'll call AAA as soon as we get to school.
It was so nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you moron! Out of the way, jerk!
Now, don't worry about the house, honey. I'm sure Mr. Phillips will advance me the money.
Oh, of course he will. You're the best player on his team. Go get him, Tiger. Tiger, Tiger. Whatever happened to that dog?
Brady!
Morning, Larry.
You know, I was just reading about some beautiful property available up in Utah. I'll bet you'd feel right at home there. Blue skies, clean living, Osmonds.
Thanks, Larry, but I'm still not interested in moving. I love this house. Carol loves it. Kids love it. Alice loves it. It was our first house altogether.
Half a mil. Take it or leave it.
Like I said, there's nothing that could get us to sell. I designed this house myself. It's in perfect condition. Carol thinks so. Kids think so. Alice thinks so. I'm sorry.
Well, you can't blame a guy for trying, huh? Huts.
Mike drives off in his vintage car. Dittmeyer looks mad. He throws his briefcase into the passenger seat of his car. Bobby comes round.
Excuse me, Mr. Dittmeyer. But as a member of the safety patrol, I must warn you that your hedge is overgrown and can block the view of the street for oncoming traffic. I know this because I was on my bike and checked out the sight lines myself.
Well, you see, Billy.
Bobby.
Like it matters. I grew my hedge tall for a reason. So I wouldn't have to see your family. Thank you for your concern.
Bobby shrugs his shoulders. Dittmeyer gets into his car and reverses out of his drive. Bobby shakes his head. At school, Greg drives into the car park. He puts his hand out of the window, signalling to a space. A car with hydraulics overtakes him and steals the spot. Greg parks in the next one. He's wearing white flares and a brown shirt with a massive collar. He sees a girl get off a bus and casually leans on the car.
Oh, hey there, groovy chick.
Oh, great. Do I look like a yellow fuzzy baby bird, too?
Hey, that's funny, Donna. You know, you are really happening in a far-out way. How about you and me going out for a soda after school?
Sorry, I got a step class.
Well, if you're having problems with your steps, maybe you should let me carry your books to history class.
I can hold my own books, and it's not history, it's tertiary.
Wow.
Marcia walks through the courtyard.
Hi, everybody.
She is slim and pretty with long blonde hair. She is wearing a pink skirt and purple cardigan. She walks past Dittmeyer's son and his handsome friend.
Hey, Marcia.
Hello, Doug Simpson.
God, she drives me crazy. I gotta have that.
I live next door to her, and she's harder to get into than a Pearl Jam concert.
What are you guys talking about?
Just how twisted the Bradys are.
Especially Marsh. What a retro wannabe. I think Peter's a babe. Well, in a Gilligan sort of way.
What are you, nuts?
Biology. Take notes.
What?
Marcia walks into the school where a line of guys watch her walk by. At the end of a line is a girl with short brown hair and baggy clothes. She looks adoringly at Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Oh, guess what? My mom said I can sleep over.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's great, Noreen. Guess what else? Doug just said hi to me. He is so dreamy, isn't he? Yeah, I guess. If you like that sort of thing. So, can I carry your books to class?
Sure, Noreen. After all, you are my best friend.
Uh-oh, here comes Doug. Go away. Sure. No, stay. Okay. No, leave. Fine. No, stay and pretend I just said something really funny.
What?
Oh. Hey, Marcia. What's up?
Oh, hi, Doug.
Listen, I was just wondering if you're not doing anything Friday night. Maybe you'd like to go to the dance with me.
Sure, that would be a blast.
Cool. You'll hear from me.
Great. Oh, he's so out of sight. Oh my gosh. I just remembered.
What?
I already told Charlie I would go to the dance with him.
So
I can't go out with two boys at once. I like Charlie, but Doug is so cute. And after all, he is the big man on campus. Noreen, what am I going to do? This is the worst mess I've ever gotten myself into. The worst. My life is over.
Next, in Peter's class, he stares at the red-headed girl who thinks he is cute.
So, that is what males experience during the onset of puberty. Now, as far as the young women are concerned, first we begin with ovulation and its effect on the female body. Peter?
Yes, Miss Lindley?
Why don't you come up here and take the pointer? And we will trace the path of the ovum through the fallopian tube where the uterine lining is flush to the vagina. Peter! Peter!
So, Jan, what can I help you with? Teen pregnancy, bulimia, suicidal tendencies?
No, it's my stupid glasses.
Oh.
I know I should wear them. I look at myself in the mirror every morning, and I say to myself, Jan, put on your glasses. But then I say, you look like a super creep. Take them off. It's like my head tells me to do different things, and I get very confused.
Inner voices? Good, that's good. Let's explore that.
What does she mean, inner voices? I don't think that's any of her business, but it's her job to ask questions. You are so dumb.
I don't have inner voices.
Now, Jan, paranoid schizophrenia is very common amongst children of blended families. You are the middle child, aren't you?
Middle child? Don't you mean Marcia Brady's little sister? Wait a minute, she's just trying to help. Help? Wake up. She's just looking for an excuse to bring up Marcia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia!
Yes, I'm in the middle!
Well, it sounds like you have a serious case of middle child syndrome. But you needn't worry. Here's a copy of my book. And my tapes. In the meantime, do something to make yourself stand out. Give you your own look, apart from your siblings.
A new look. That's it. Gee, thanks, Mrs. Cummings.
Jan, come back when you're pregnant. And girl, you better work.
In the canteen, Peter approaches the redhead who is struggling with her tray.
Hi, Ollie.
Hi.
Can I give you a hand?
Yeah. Thanks. I'm over here.
Hey, Petey. Look, Leon. It's Holly's little friend.
Hey, knock it off, bro.
Are you what?
Dittmeyer. Do it and die.
Get you, Brady.
A $20,000 advance? Oh, I'd like to, Mike, but we're still hurting from the recession. I only have 3 developers coming all this week.
Let me have a shot at those projects, Mr. Phillips. If I can sell one of them my design, you could front me the advance, right?
Sure, but how should I put this delicately, Mike? Your designs are from another time.
That's kind of you to say, Mr. Phillips. I've always thought of my style as classic as well. I'll get right to work. Well, Mr. Amir, what do you think?
I love it. But it's too interesting. I want something simple. A couple of self-serve pump and a slurpee machine. Sorry.
It's only strike one, Mr. Phillips. I've still got 2 more times at bat.
The design is the same as the Brady's house. Next, Cindy is skipping in Dittmeyer's yard.
Hey, Heidi. So yodeling your own yard, huh?
Okay, Mr. Dittmeyer.
He scowls and goes back into the house. Up above, a man drops an electrical cable into the Dittmeyer's yard. Cindy loses her ball over the fence and has to go next door again.
I gotta get something out of my truck. Don't let anybody touch this wire. Can you do that?
Of course. Daddy, there's a Brady in our yard.
I thought I told you to stay in your own yard.
Yeah, but you see, Mr. Dittmeyer, I'm simply standing here.
You know, the lisp thing is really getting old. So why don't you hop back on the Swiss Miss package where you belong, huh?
Okay.
Oh, don't forget your jump rope.
He gets thrown backwards from the shock. He falls to the floor and a little dog approaches. The dog cocks its leg above his head.
Try it in your spam.
At home, Carol is cross-stitching. Mike enters.
Well, Mr. Brady, did you hit a home run today?
My design didn't even make it to first base.
He takes a seat next to his wife in the living room. At the top of the stairs, Cindy takes a seat and listens in.
You know, maybe we should think about taking Mr. Dittmeyer up on his offer.
You're serious about selling the house?
Carol, I designed this house myself. Every color, every brick, every sheet of formica. If I knew another way out, I'd take it. But where else are we going to find $20,000 by the end of the week?
Oh, no. We're gonna have to sell our house.
Cindy goes to Greg's room. He is playing the guitar.
Clowns never laughed before. Beanstalks never grew. No one ever loved...
What is it, Cindy?
I'm busy writing a song for Danielle.
I have to tell you something.
Okay.
But I can't tell you because that would be tattling.
Oh, come on, Cindy. If it's important, it's not tattling.
I'm never going to tell that Mom and Dad have to sell the house because they owe $20,000. Oops.
And that's why I called this meeting.
But Greg, what are we going to do?
Yeah, if we don't raise $20,000 in 1 week... we'll have to move.
And go to a new school.
And make new friends.
But Jan, you don't have any friends.
Oh, wait. We can save the house. We can raise the money ourselves.
But how?
Well, we can each get jobs and earn extra money.
Hey, neato idea.
Gee, there are so many things I'm good at. I wouldn't know where to start.
Oh, I'm just so perfect at so many things.
You're just jealous, Jan.
I'm going to make some serious cash.
Oh, yeah? Well, I bet I can make more than you.
With what, Shrimpo? Your tooth fairy money?
Who are you calling Shrimpo?
Hey, Mom always said don't play ball in the house.
I wasn't playing ball. I just gave it to you.
Hey, you're kidding.
You guys, stop fighting. If we're going to save this house for Mom and Dad, we've each got to make as much as we can.
Yeah.
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 Nighttime. Jan is asleep in bed. Marcia's voice in her head wakes her up.
But Jan, you don't have any friends. You're just jealous, Jan.
With a manic smile, she gets out of bed with large scissors in her hand. She walks over to a sleeping Marcia, lifts the scissors up, and starts cutting Marcia's hair. Cindy wakes up.
Jan, what are you doing?
Go back to sleep, Cindy.
Jan, don't. Marcia's hair is so beautiful.
Exactly. That's why I'm going to get a lot of money when I sell it.
She continues cutting.
Jan, what are you doing?
Oh, Marcia, I love your hair.
Ooh, what a groovy hairdo.
Oh, you're so beautiful.
No, she's supposed to look bad. No, no!
What a horrible dream.
Greg is playing his guitar into a mirror. Marcia comes into the room.
Greg, have you got bananas?
No. I just found a way to save our house. I'm gonna become a rock star.
That's great, Greg. But I need some advice about something really important. See, Charlie asked me to the dance, and I said yes. Then Doug asked me to the dance, and I said yes to him, too. What am I going to do?
Well, you just tell the guy you don't want to go with. Something suddenly came up.
And that works?
Sure. Girls say it to me all the time.
A geeky-looking guy walks up to Marcia at school.
Hey, Marcia.
Oh, hi, Charlie.
I can't wait until the dance Friday night.
Oh, about the dance, Charlie? Well, something suddenly came up.
Oh, well, you know, that's okay. Maybe some other time?
Sure.
Bye.
Bye. Greg was right. Well, that takes care of that problem. Let's see what's next.
Her list reads, tell Charlie, earn $20,000, get Davy Jones, brush hair. Marcia gets out a brush and starts running it through her hair. Greg is serenading Donna.
Attention, missing school office supplies. Reward offer.
Office supplies? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I heard it before. You know, I've got reward money riding on this. Now spread them. Oh, come on, Mrs. Whitfield, you're gonna have to do better than that.
Up against the school bus, as a teacher opens her legs, various office supplies fall out from under her skirt.
Boy, you sure have some strong thigh muscles, Mrs. Whitfield.
But I've been here for hours. Please, you won't regret it, I guarantee you. Please, weren't you ever a kid with a dream of making something of yourself?
Greg is at a record company.
Clowns to beanstalks? What the hell is this?
This is a guaranteed gold record. Clowns never laughed before, and beanstalks...
No. Look, what did you say your name was again?
Bravo. Johnny Bravo.
Listen, Bravo. Today's sound is raw, with an edge. Seattle, grunge, garage bands.
Don't they have beanstalks in Seattle? Oh, hey there, groovy chick.
Mm-mm. Yeah, went fabulous. Put the head back on, Fletcher.
Now listen.
Listen, I am closing in on the Bradys, though. Yeah. They'll be, can I call you back, Mr. Feldman? My car phone's ringing. Hello?
He sees a cycling Jan in his wing mirror. As he leans out of the window, she crashes into him, ripping out his car phone. Next, Greg walks into the Dittmeyer's yard.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Dittmeyer. I'm here to see Eric.
Oh, hi, Greggy. Oh, Greg. I'm so glad you're here. I've got some more of your mail.
Oh.
Oh, gee, your hands are full. Let me just...
She puts the letters into his tight pants.
Oh, my. You've gotten so big. You're almost as big as your daddy.
And I'm still growing.
Right before my very eyes. Pants are so tight.
Hey, Mrs. Dittmeyer.
Peter.
Can I mow your lawn? I'm trying to earn some extra money.
Sure. Two Bradys. Tell you what, when your boys are done, why don't you come inside and help me make a sandwich?
Nighttime, and Mike is reading a book entitled Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Next to him in bed, Carol sighs heavily.
Penny for your thoughts.
About 20,000 of them.
You're worried about the house, aren't you?
I told you I'd take care of everything.
Oh, Mike, it's just that we're so happy here. I sure would miss our kitchen and our garden and Alice. If we lose her, who'll make the lunches I pass out? And who'll answer the phone? Brady residence? And who'll
now,
help me?
Now, honey, Alice isn't going anywhere, and neither are we. Besides, she doesn't do everything around here.
He gives her a knowing smile.
Time to put your bookmark in, Mr. Brady.
They look at each other. In Marcia and Jan's room, Marcia is sharing a bed with her friend Noreen.
Sure, I'm glad your mom let you sleep over on a school night. Marcia, I have to tell you something. You're the prettiest girl in the entire school. I know. But how
can I use my good looks and sparkling personality to make money and save our house? That's it. I could be a teen model. Oh, thanks, Noreen. You're the greatest.
Marcia closes her eyes and Noreen smiles happily.
Noreen?
Hmm?
Is that you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was my leg.
Night.
Sweet dreams, Marcia.
Next, in a modeling agency.
I still don't know why you had to tag along. This is my thing.
You're not the only one who can be a model, you know.
Ooh. Those are pretty pictures. What have you modeled for?
Guess.
Are you a Breck girl?
No, Guess jeans.
Okay, Levi's, Wrangler, Oshkosh Bagosh.
Brady girls?
That's us.
Sir, you're professional models.
Yes, we are, of course.
So what do you have to show me?
Plenty.
Jan takes out a tape recorder. They do cheesy poses like catalog models. The rest of the studio watch confused. The photographer walks up to the girls and takes Jan's hand.
You.
He throws her out of the agency.
Thank you.
Why does everyone always choose Marcia? What does she have that I don't have?
Now, Marcia, I may be able to use you, but first you're going to have to do a little work on yourself.
You mean like walking with a book on my head?
No, I mean like cutting that mousy hair, tapping those teeth, and losing about 30 pounds, my little sausage. How do you feel about breast implants?
Cut my hair.
Next at Mike's office.
And after much consideration, Mr. Swanson, I designed a structure especially for your needs. So what do you think?
Well, it's just too good a design for a fast food joint. You see what I'm saying, Phillips? This is... I think you're pumping a dry well here. You understand what I'm saying? All right. I'll be in touch with you. Sorry, Mikey.
It's the same design.
Well, strike two.
Jan gawkily walks up to the school notice board.
There's got to be a way to make $20,000.
She peers at a sign.
Hey, Search for the Stars is looking for fresh young musical acts. First prize, $20,000. Too bad I'm not a musical act.
Hey, Marcia.
I'm not Marcia. I'm Jan.
The usual, Sam.
Sure thing, Mrs. Brady.
20 pounds of ground round, coming right up.
Carol, are you still eating red meat?
Why, of course. I've got growing kids. I have to think about their health. Isn't Sam the best?
Well, we're sure going to miss this place when we move, won't we?
Oh, we're not moving.
You're not? I thought everyone on the block was.
Mike says there's no reason to sell. We'll be here forever.
There you go, Mrs. Brady.
Thanks, Sam. Have a nice day.
Bye, Sam.
The woman looks confused. At home, Alice takes out the slab of meat from the oven.
Marcia, could you call the troops to dinner?
In a second. I'm just checking for a letter from Davy Jones. Nothing. Oh, Alice, if I don't get an answer from him soon, I'll be the most humiliated girl in the world.
You think waiting 3 weeks for an answer is rough? Try waiting 20 years for the question.
Alice.
Hey, Greg, you're the Casanova Clinton Avenue. How can I get Holly to go for me?
Well, chicks love compliments, man. Just tell her how groovy she is.
And that really works?
Trust me, it always gets a reaction. Now throw me a pass.
24, 32, set, hike.
Dinner's ready. Oh, my nose.
Are you all right?
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Marcia.
Yeah, me too.
Let's have a look, Marcia.
Her nose is completely out of shape.
I look awful. Just awful. I can never show my face in school again. I'm ruined.
Sweetheart, I know you feel terrible, but it's gonna get better.
I'm sure no one will ever notice.
Oh, my goodness, what happened to your mother's favorite picture? It's crooked. I mean, the painting's crooked. I think I better go. I think I hear the noseboy. I'm in the noseboy. Oh, boy, did I blow it.
Now I'll never be a teen model. I'll never be anything. What's the point of living? I might as well die.
Jan smiles happily behind Marsha. Outside, the kids are putting money in a jar.
Don't forget my $10 reward money. I need more than you. Almost $12.
Well, I got $15 from Mrs. Dittmeyer. Boy, is she a good tipper.
But we're still nowhere near $20,000. This is just awful.
You can say that again. Tonight's the school dance, and my nose still hasn't gone down.
Hey, I saw something on the bulletin board at school about a Search for the Stars contest. They're looking for fresh young musical groups. First prize is exactly $20,000.
Oh, sure, Jan. Like, we'd really win.
Oh, Jan.
We'd never have a chance.
We might as well rob a bank.
Guys, there's no point in fighting. We're running out of time, and we still have to find a way out of this mess.
I sure am gonna miss this house. Uh-oh. Here comes Mom and Dad.
All right, now remember, everyone, act happy. We can't let on that we know anything.
Mike. You don't think the kids suspect anything, do you?
Oh, no, of course not. No, just to make sure, we should act extra happy.
Well, you know what makes us the happiest?
Potato sack race!
Get ready! Get set! Go!
So, what can I do you for?
You can explain to me what Mrs. Brady told my wife.
Yeah, if Mike Brady won't sell, we're all screwed.
Well, allow me to take this opportunity to set the record straight. The Bradys are selling, my clients are buying, and you are all making out like bandits. Scotch, Steve?
Are you calling my wife a liar?
Steve, no. You're just saying you can't believe the Bradys. You've all seen the insane stuff that goes on over there. How about this AstroTurf lawn they treat like real grass, huh? And, excuse me, a family that's happy all the time? Not possible.
It is strange how they spend their weekends hopping around in potato sacks.
Yeah.
I do know something. I hear that their maid works for free. Can you understand that?
Well, I can.
No.
You know, I was over there once. One bathroom for 9 people.
Get out.
Come
here.
On. Stop.
And
please.
I never did see a toilet.
Oh, please, they've got to put it somewhere.
Like
it. Yes. Come on.
I rest my case. Hi, I'm Doug Simpson. Marsha's date. Oh, right, the big man on campus. Come on in, Doug.
Marsha, Doug's here.
Hi, Doug. Big man on campus, huh?
Yeah, right.
Marsha appears with her hair over her face.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, Marsha. Is anything wrong?
Sweetheart, I think you better show him.
She flips back her hair to show her bruised, flattened nose.
I suppose you don't want to go out with me now, huh?
Oh, of course I do. It's not your nose I'm after.
That's a fine boy Marsha's got there.
Oh, Marsha, it looks like rain. You better take your shawl.
Thanks.
Doug, how about you? Do you have any protection?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Assorted colors and textures.
Good for you.
Have fun, kids.
Bye-bye.
In a convertible, Doug and Marsha drive to a lookout point.
Dad, this isn't school dance.
I just figured we'd come up here and unwind a little bit before we go down.
Mind if I change the station?
Doug leans in and blows into Marsha's ear.
Oh, it is windy tonight. Maybe we should put the top up.
I'll keep you warm, Marsha.
Doug, your hand is on my shoulder.
So?
Well, that's third base, and I don't go that far. Doug, I think I just felt your tongue in my mouth.
That's called a French kiss, Marcia.
I thought you were from Nebraska.
I am.
Listen, Doug, I don't know what you were thinking, but I don't do things like that. Now, you may live your life one way, but we Bradys follow our own drummer. So, I hope this doesn't sour the rest of our day.
You Bradys suck!
Doug drives off, throwing Marsha's shawl onto the floor. A black limo pulls up near Marsha.
Excuse me.
No, thank you. I don't take rides from strangers.
I was just wondering how to get to Westdale High School.
Westdale High?
At the dance, the room is dark and people in grungy clothes are dancing to a band. Doug walks in and two security guards check him with electronic paddles. Jan walks alone through the crowd in glasses and a white crochet dress. She takes off her glasses, smiles, and starts dancing like an Egyptian. Elsewhere, Dipmeyer's son Eric sees Holly dancing with Peter.
Hey, you're one groovy chick. Really happening in a far out way. Thanks.
Eric storms over to the couple. Peter races off. Eric grabs Holly and starts dancing seductively with her. Peter, who's not watching where he's going, bumps into a teacher and grabs hold of her breasts. He looks at her and faints.
Peter.
Next, Jan is holding a black plastic bag. She nods knowingly and leaves the room. As the band stop, Greg goes up on stage and taps the singer on the shoulder. He takes over the mic.
Excuse me, have your attention, please. You may all know me as Greg Brady, but tonight, I'd like to introduce you to Johnny Bravo.
Hey, Johnny.
For my first song, I'd like to sing a number I wrote for the grooviest chick at Westdale High.
All the girls run off.
Three, four.
Clowns never laughed before. Beanstalks never grew. Ponies never ran before.
The main rock band take over. Greg walks off sheepishly. On the other side of the room, Jan walks back with a massive black afro wig on her head. People stop and stare in wonder.
Hi, everybody. This is the new Jan Brady. Am I a hit? Do you like it? Really did make a splash.
Marsha takes the mic.
Can I have your attention, please? I have some news that's gonna make everyone flip.
Hey, what about me?
I thought he might show up, but I didn't want to get all your hopes up.
Marsha did it again. Marsha.
But here he is. Davy Jones!
The former monkey takes the stage.
Thanks a lot for being here, Davy. I mean, Mr. Jones.
Anything for my number one fan.
The female teachers in the room all swoon.
Girl, look what you've done to me.
Look, it really is Davy Jones.
Me and my whole world. Brought the sun to me with your smile. You did it, girl. I'm telling you, girl, something unknown to me makes you what you are.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Marsha.
It's rude of me to break our date. How can I make it up to you?
Well, Hey, Marsha. How about a dance?
Why, I'd love to, Charlie Anderson.
They take to the dance floor. Marsha dances with her arms pushing out to each side with her thumbs up. Charlie looks at her and starts copying.
I'm telling you, girl, something unknown to me makes you what you are, and what you are is all that I want for me.
Other students watch them and start copying the dance. Soon, the whole hall is doing the thumbs-up dance.
Thank you, girl, for making the winter warmer.
Girl,
for making the music softer.
Girl,
for making a better world for me.
Doug appears disheveled from behind a table that has been turned on its side. A girl, Molly, appears next to him. The teacher's going wild at the front of the stage.
Thank you, girl.
Doug leaves Molly behind.
Hey, where are you going?
Something suddenly came up.
Hey, Marsha, you look great up there.
Thanks, Maureen.
Hey, Marsha, you got a sec?
Forget it, Doug. Even with a swollen nose, I can still smell a rat.
Charlie and Noreen smile.
Slut. Marsha, would you get our coats? I have a little matter to discuss.
Sure, Charlie.
Hey, I heard what you said, Doug. And I'm not gonna let you talk to Marsha like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what are you gonna do about it, geek?
I'm gonna lose consciousness.
Hey, Doug, how's about a little punch?
Noreen knocks him out.
Is he dead? Wow. Charlie, thanks.
Noreen is upset as they walk off. Molly approaches her.
Couldn't have done it better myself.
Noreen starts crying. Molly takes out a tissue from her bra and gives it to Noreen.
Are you okay?
Noreen slowly looks up at Molly. Charlie is walking Marsha home.
I really had a great time, Marsha.
Yeah, me too, Charlie.
Well,
bye. Bye.
Marsha? So, can I have a kiss goodnight?
Well, okay, Charlie.
She goes to kiss him.
Marsha, I think I just felt your tongue in my mouth.
It's called a French kiss, Charlie.
Marsha, I gotta go. Something suddenly came up.
Next, the girls are asleep in bed. Jan, who is asleep, suddenly gets her crazy grin. She replays Marsha's accident in her head again and again.
What a nice dream. Jan, what is it? Has my nose gotten worse?
No, it's better.
Jan weeps on her bed as Marcia looks at herself in her handheld mirror.
The hardest thing about the health club business is getting people to leave their house. Well, what do you think?
I love it. Anthony Umay, you're already down. Consider yourself hired.
His boss puts his thumbs up. Mike looks pleased with himself. At home, Carol is sitting on Mike's lap, whispering into his ear.
Uh-huh. You were. I see. All right.
The kids come down the stairs.
Mom, Dad.
Hey, why the gloom?
Well, we just had a kid meeting, and, well, we decided that we don't mind if we have to move.
We tried to raise the money for the tax bill ourselves, but there are only 2 days left, and all we could come up with was $110.
What? How did you know about the house and the tax bill?
One by one, they all look at Cindy.
Oops. Cindy, do I have to remind you that when you tattle on someone, you're not just telling on them. You're telling on yourself and telling them that
you're a tattletale. Yeah, we've heard it, Dad. Thanks.
Kids, you have nothing to worry about. Today, your father sold a design, and now he can get that $20,000 advance.
Oh, hi!
I appreciate what you all tried to do. And from now on, no more secrets. The important thing is we still have our home. So let's celebrate. Put on your Sunday best, kids. We're going to Sears.
The whole family ride an escalator down in the department store.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
I hear you now, I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine.
I thought Sam had magic fingers.
Marcia walks over to the TV department.
Hey, everybody, look!
Come on, gang, let's have a look.
Think I'll take a walk in your day now. The summer sun, show me the way. To be happy now, I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out, give me some of those rays.
Dittmar is pushed by the crowd into the TV department. He turns around and the Bradys are on a TV wall behind him. He looks shocked at the sight of them.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now, I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays.
At the Dittmar's house, he's going through the post.
Sunshine day, everybody's laughing.
Bill. Brady. Occupant. Bill Brady. Joint consolidated tax bill, final notice. Dear Mr. Brady, due to your failure to pay, house will be auctioned 2 p.m. tomorrow. $20,000. Dina. Dina. This is the greatest day of our lives.
Kids run away?
No. We are rich. We are going to be filthy, stinking, disgustingly rich.
Larry?
Yeah?
Get me my ice mask.
Get your ice mask. We're going to be so rich you can hire an Eskimo to sit on your face.
Mike is putting golf balls into a glass in the living room. Dittmar arrives at the house.
It's open. Of course it is. Morning. Morning, Larry. If you're here about the offer, the answer's still no. I haven't changed my mind.
No need for that. I know you won't be selling this house. Because after the auction, tomorrow at 2:00, I'll own it.
Well, I don't think there'll be any auction.
What?
Well, luckily, I just sold one of my designs, so it looks like the Bradys are here to stay.
So, which firm was lucky enough to snag one of your designs, Mike? And, of course, if you ever need a property for one of your health clubs, I'm your man.
Oh, thank you.
Well, well, what have we here? This is one of our new gyms that we are constructing. We are negotiating to buy the design right now.
Really? Who's your architect?
Very talented fellow. Name of Brady.
I guess you won't be breaking ground until after he dries out.
Dries out?
I really shouldn't say anything. Guy's been through a lot lately. What with the charges filed against him and everything.
Charges?
Criminal negligence. A building he designed completely collapsed. Old folks' home. Christmas Day. All those cute little visiting grandchildren. Some with puppies. Let's take a moment to honor their memory, shall we?
Back at the Bradys, they are all country dancing.
I'll get it.
Brady residence. You did, I see. When? Uh-huh. They did. Why not? Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah? Right. Well, bye. Bad news, I'm afraid.
Oh, Mike, what?
The Flex Factory pulled out of the project this morning. They're not going with my design.
Oh, Mike, why?
Well, they wouldn't say. I guess this means it's over. Unless a miracle happens by 2:00 tomorrow, the county is going to auction our house.
Oh, Mike, how?
Kids, I'm afraid the money that we were counting on is no longer a possibility. But I want you to remember that no matter where we go, or whatever house we're in, we'll be fine as long as we're together. So I don't want to see any more frowns. We're Bradys. And as a wise man once said, wherever you go, there you are.
Never thought of it that way, Dad.
A removal van arrives outside the Bradys' home. Nighttime, and the kids have congregated into the living room in their pajamas.
Boy, this is crummy.
Well, there must be some way out of this mess. Everybody think.
Hey, I've got it. We can enter that Search for the Stars contest. First prize is exactly $20,000.
Hey, that's a nifty idea, Marcia.
Great idea, Marcia.
Good idea, Marcia.
Am I invisible? Do I not have a voice? I had that idea 2 days ago.
Stop being so selfish, Jan.
Oh, come on, Jan.
Oh, Jan.
Jan.
Come on, you guys. We've got a big day ahead of us. We better get some rest if we're going to be a fresh young musical group.
It was my idea. Mine. Didn't anybody hear me?
I heard you.
Me too. But it sounded better coming from Marcia.
Outside, Sam helps Alice out of his van.
Sam, that was the juiciest meat cutter's ball I've ever been to. I'm cooked.
Alice, I want you to stick out your hand and close your eyes. I got a surprise for you.
Unless it fits on my finger, I've got to hit the sack.
It better fit, or I'm going to have to take it back.
Sam, I thought this day would never come.
It's a bowling ball.
When I saw it, I thought it was right up your alley.
I'm bowled over.
In Mike and Carol's bedroom.
I always thought our grandchildren would come visit us in this house.
Oh, Mike.
I know. This is going to be our last night in this bedroom.
Why, Grandpa Brady.
They snuggle under the covers. As Alice sneaks into the living room, she is surprised by Jan coming down the stairs. Jan is fully clothed, wearing her black afro wig, but not wearing her glasses. Alice sneaks back into another room, and Jan sits next to Cindy, who stirs.
Jan, where are you going?
Someplace where I can be appreciated. Go ahead and snitch if you want. Just give me a head start.
I wouldn't snitch, but how will we sing without you?
Why don't you ask Marcia? Maybe she has another brilliant idea.
Jan knocks over a box as she leaves. Cindy runs upstairs.
Oh. Mom, Dad.
What is it, Cindy?
If you know something, but you don't want to be a tattle, but it's very important that you tell someone.
Cindy, let's talk about it tomorrow.
But Jan could be dead by then.
What?
Oops.
Why would Jan run away like this? Maybe we were thinking too much about our problems and not enough about the kids.
Did anyone say anything that would make Jan run away?
Nothing more than what we usually say to her.
Yeah. I'll get Alice.
Oh. Hi, folks. Sam, what are you doing here? Well, I was just, delivering some meat.
Well, it's a good thing you're here. Jan ran away, and we need you and Alice to help find her. We'll circle the block, and you check the school. Come on, gang, let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, everybody, hurry up.
Come on. Hurry. Come on. Yeah.
I go all the way back.
I got Jan is in the red light district.
What happened? Did an animal die in your head? Hey, lose the hat. You'll be okay.
At the side of the road, she hitches a ride. A large lorry stops and picks her up. It has a lady driver. Family are in their car.
Keep your eyes peeled, everybody.
Breaker 19, this is Christmas Carol.
Honey, no one's answered us in years.
Oh, Mike, I have to try. Breaker 19, do you read me? Anyone out there? I need a 20 on a little girl. Blonde, blue-eyed, answers to the name of Jan. Tell her Mother Hen and Father Goose love her very much. Come back to me if you're out there, over.
Jan hears the call in the truck.
Sounds like some family misses somebody they love very much.
I don't have a family.
No family. You know, sometimes I'm driving the graveyard shift in the middle of nowhere. I can't help thinking what might have been if I'd taken a different road, married young, had a family. 3 boys, 3 girls. Then a little voice says, are you kidding? They'd probably just treat you like a maid. You want some of this, Jan?
No, thanks. You have a little voice, too?
Oh, honey, when you're on the road as long as I am, you gotta talk to somebody. It's a trick I learned growing up. It's tough being a middle child.
You're a middle child. So am I.
Oh. Well, then you know what it feels like, not being special.
What does she mean, I'm not special? Hey, she's just trying to help.
My family's not much. No kids. But we do have a lot of livestock.
Jan! Oh, Jan! Don't listen to her.
In this day and age, if you're lucky enough
to... Who is that?
It's me. The new Jan Brady. Let's knock over a 7-Eleven.
Stop. You're scaring me.
Me too.
Me too!
The lady truck driver looks shocked at Jan's outburst. Next, Jan arrives home through the front door.
Mom? Dad? Hi,
back in the car.
Christmas Carol, this is Schulze. Come back to me.
Schulze, this is Christmas Carol.
I got a 20 on a little girl. Blue eyes, blonde hair, answers to the name of Jan.
Oh,
I just dropped her off at 4222 Clinton Way.
Thank you, Schulze, thank you, and God bless. Over.
That's a big 10-4.
Jan,
are you here?
Mom? Dad?
What on earth made you run away?
I thought no one wanted me here anymore. But when I was out in the real world, I realized that I wanted me to be here. You're all a part of me, and I'm a part of you. And there's no escaping that. But it makes me feel really special.
I couldn't have put it better myself, Jan. But I'll try anyway. See, I've always believed that it doesn't matter where your home is, because home is where your heart is. And we may lose this house, but we'll always have our family because we're Bradys. And this family is our home. That's why we'll always have our home. As long as we have our family, even if we lose our house, we're still Bradys.
Your father's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Never thought of it that way.
Maybe we can still save the house. How about Jan's idea of the Search for the Stars contest?
Jan's idea?
Yes, it was Jan's. And it's a really great plan.
What Search for the Stars?
It's a contest for the best musical group. And there's a first prize of $20,000. And singing one of Greg's songs, we're sure to win.
Well, then you're gonna have to sing it without me.
Huh? What?
Why?
I thought I could change my name and my personality and become some big flashy rock star. But I was just kidding myself. Nobody liked my act. I guess I just don't have what it takes. Let's face it, Johnny Bravo's nothing but Johnny Rotten.
You're right, son. Johnny Bravo doesn't have what it takes. But Greg Brady does. He has us. And this family can accomplish anything. Alone, we can only move buckets. But if we work together, we can drain rivers.
Your father's right. The eight of us separate are just eight. Well, with Alice, we're nine. But nine...
Yes, well, technically...
And with Sam, mm-hmm. 10. But 10 separate, just 10. Together, we're a bunch.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch.
What do you say, Greg?
Please?
Well, what are we waiting for? Grab some costumes. We've got to make that contest.
Okay. All right.
At the contest, Eric Dittmeyer's band are playing. He is the lead singer.
I'm so nervous. Why am I so nervous?
Stop it. You're making me nervous.
All right, let's have a big hand for Flynn. Yes.
You sounded hot.
What, are you completely brain dead? Leon missed an entire riff. Didn't you hear it?
I liked it.
You're such a loser.
Peter goes to stand up for Holly.
Hey, Eric. I'm sick and tired of seeing you treat Holly that way. In fact, I'm sick and tired of you all together. You're nothing but a big bully.
You're dog meat, Brady.
Do it and die, Eric.
As he heads for Peter, Eric steps on a mic stand which flies up and hits him in the groin.
Peter, we're on.
Thanks, Peter. I think you're really neato.
Holly kisses Peter full on the lips.
Why, thank you, Holly. I think you're Ginger and Marianne combined.
Come on, Peter, that's us.
See ya.
Good luck.
In Technicolor outfits with frills, the Brady kids take to the stage.
Flying down the highway in a makeshift Model T. Woo! Yeah! Woo! It's a beautiful morning and it's gonna be a beautiful day. The wheels are humming, the guitar's drumming, and the radio is blasting, and good sounds are coming as we're flying down the highway in a makeshift Model T. We're gonna keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on.
Miles away.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Smiling is a habit, and habit is here to stay. Yeah.
Molly and Noreen are in the crowd dancing to the music.
Keep on, keep on, keep on.
They're the only ones who clap along with Mike, Carol and Holly.
Thank you, Brady Bunch.
You look great. You look great.
Let's give the rest of our contestants a big hand as our judges tally up the scores. And I have it right here. The winner of the Search for the Stars $20,000 grand prize is the Brady Bunch.
Yeah! The judges are the Monkees, Peter Tork, Mickey Dolenz, and Davy Jones.
Hey, great job.
Thanks.
They what? How could those losers win anything? Look, Eric, you gotta stall them for me. What do you mean, what's in it for you? All right, you have my permission to pierce anything you want. Just keep them from getting here. Damn kid.
Eric breaks into the Brady's car and takes out the ignition. Back inside the auditorium.
Come on. Well, here it is. A check made out to the Brady Bunch for $20,000.
Come on, gang, let's go.
Hey. All right, everybody, let's hear for them Bradys. It was something else. Well, thanks for coming down. I hope you had a good time, and we'll see you.
Come on, let's go, troops. Come on, hurry up.
Hey there, groovy chicks. You're all happening in far-out ways.
As Greg leaves, he is swamped by girls. Marsha has to pull him away to get to the car. Inside the car, Mike looks down at the dashboard.
Now, how do you suppose that happened?
Oh, Mike, what are we gonna do?
Hey, Marsha, look, it's our friend, Eddie. You remember, the guy who needed a car jack.
Come on, everybody, he can give us a lift. Can you give us a ride?
A ride?
Good afternoon. Having trouble with the car line?
Oh, no. It's not our car. It's our friend Eddie's.
Oh, really? Where are the keys, Eddie?
I lost them.
Oh, no. But we were counting on you to give us a ride to our house.
I'll run the plate.
Excuse me, officer. But I'd hate to ask a law enforcement official to bend the rules. Especially for Penal Code 117, Section 33B. But our house is at stake.
Maybe we should just use the house.
It's our
house.
Please.
2 o'clock, auction time. It's exciting, isn't it, Alice?
By the power authorized me by the County of Los Angeles, I hereby offer this property to the highest bidder, unless the owner redeems
come
it.
Come on, come on, come on.
Okay, I'll start the bidding at the sum total of back taxes, $20,000. Do I have any takers?
Say, I've got $20,000.
Stop the auction! We have the money for the tax bill. I repeat, stop the auction! We have the money for the tax bill. The house is still ours. Come on, kids. Hold everything. Good news, everybody. The Bradys are here to stay.
Hooray!
Lied to us, Dittmeyer. The Bradys aren't selling.
I knew it!
You guaranteed us!
You ruined us, Dittmeyer.
You're gonna pay for this.
Now, hold on, people. Wait a minute.
The man you should be angry with is me. Because our house is more important than money. This neighborhood is more important than money. Tell me, how many times have we borrowed each other's power tools or patched up each other's kids? We know so much about each other. I know that every January, Mr. Yeager is going to have that big Super Bowl party at his house. We know that every spring, Mrs. Simmons is going to have the prettiest daffodils on the block.
Yes. Lovely flowers.
We know that at 10:15 every Saturday morning, Mrs. Topping likes to walk through her living room naked.
You know about
that? Call me old-fashioned, but these things are important, and they're not for sale. This is our neighborhood, and we're staying.
Now, this is going to sound crazy, but Brady's right. We're never going to find another neighborhood like this.
And we'll never find neighbors like the Bradys.
We're staying, too.
Us, too.
So are we.
We will, too.
Great.
Gosh, I wish I lived here. I mean, it's incredible. You people are all staying because one family is willing to stand up for what they believe in.
Well,
that and the huge settlement we're going to get after we sue Dittmeyer's ass.
Oh, Mike, I always knew you could hit a grand slam. And now we can stay in our house after all.
Hey, do you know who'd love to hear about this?
Grandma!
Hey! Hi, everybody! Look how pretty you have gotten. Oh, those clothes. Oh, what taste. And that smile. Oh, Marcia, you are such a beauty.
Everyone loves Marcia. No one loves you.
Watch my head spin. Kill, kill, kill.
No! Stop it! I can't take it anymore!
Ah, shut up, you loser.
Jan!
Cut the crap.
They're gone. Thank you, Grandma.
Oh, there.
Cindy.
Oh, Cindy.
Why does Jan get all the attention? Yeah. It's always Jan, Jan, Jan.
In a box of 9 screens, members of the Brady family feature. Greg is with the counselor. Doreen is hugging Marcia. Cindy now has the Afro wig on. Marcia keeps trying to push Jan out of the way. Mike and Carol holding a bottle of vodka. Peter snuggling up to his teacher. Alice taking her shirt off. Bobby pretending to be a policeman. The end.
got that losing feeling. Don't throw the ball in the house. I only wish that I had known. Maybe I would not have broken every single thing I own.
Just wait for fate to change the life that you hate. Down to your DNA. Just wait for fate to change the life that you hate. And get out of my way.
Have a nice day.